Hey, I'm Maggie Domingo, and I'm sharing how human design can reveal your true, unique self. It's a personal development tool that provides practical and actionable concepts to be applied to your day-to-day so you can live a more fulfilling and aligned life. And who wouldn't want that? This is the Maggie Domingo Podcast. Hello, welcome back to the Maggie Domingo Podcast. I'm so grateful that you are here with me today and just sharing your time with me. So I never take that for granted. And I just wanted to say that to you today. So I have a feeling that today's episode might be a teeny bit longer than some of my other ones. And I feel like, as always, I kind of start the episode off talking about a certain something, and then it migrates into kind of the real purpose of the episode. So that's definitely going to be one of these episodes today. And I'm just going to go ahead and get started and get into it. And hopefully you stick with me until the very end, because I feel like this was something that was really big for me when I kind of made the connection. So I hope that it serves you as well. Okay, so let's just get started. So I feel like there is a really big emphasis on having a morning routine. At least in the circles that I'm in online, people seem to really just believe that it's what made the difference in their success. But I personally just don't believe that having a morning routine determines anything other than just your apparent determination in that commitment or prioritization, which I commend people for that part at least. But nonetheless, I've always had this resistance around having a morning routine. I have my regular kind of morning routine of like waking up, taking care of the kids, meaning my cat and dog. But other than that, I don't really consider myself having a morning routine, at least not one that's like really serving to me. It's just kind of like, here are the things that I got to get done. Let's just get into it and get started. But again, that's not, I at least don't believe that that's really what a morning routine should be for you. And it's not that I don't value the structure and routine of a morning routine, because I absolutely do, but they just always felt so forced previously. Like, I was only doing it because people kept shoving it in my face of how important it was to have one. And I think it would just ended up being one of those things where it was like, when it becomes like big and mainstream, you know, quote unquote mainstream in a certain way, I'm just kind of like, no thanks. I need to like come around to this on my own. I'm not going to just do it because someone's saying that it's great or it becomes like the popular cool thing to do. Like, no, I've never been that way. So anyway, I knew that I did want to start doing something for myself in the mornings. And I think that was the reframing that I actually needed when approaching a morning routine. I kept trying to do all the other things that people were saying, oh, this is what I do for my morning routine. And then I would like kind of try it and it would just fall off in my priorities. And I think, again, it was because it was something that was so forced versus more of being in a flow with it. I don't like the idea of having a morning routine just to have a morning routine. So instead, it was more of like, I want to take time for myself in the mornings with something that lights me up, because my human design type is a generator, and it's particularly important for people like me to respond to life with things that light them up. So in recognizing that, it was like, if I don't enjoy a morning routine that I feel like is being forced on me, then it's just not something that I'm going to end up continuing. And it's not something that's going to bring me satisfaction, because it's not actually lighting me up. So I ended up creating my version of a morning routine, and I call it my 10-10-10. It's basically doing 10 minutes of three different activities, all of which are something that just feel really like nourishing and supportive to me at that, you know, time in my life. And something like this might exist elsewhere, but this was something that I just created on my own because it felt really doable. It did feel very supportive and nourishing, like I said. And so I've been doing it. I won't say I'm doing it every single day, because I would be lying to you. There are things that come up and I just don't get around to it, but it is something that still gets me really excited to do. And I do prioritize it in the mornings as much as I can. So far on my list of things that I've kind of put into my little bucket, and I can choose any of those three things to do each morning, I have yoga, meditation, breath work. I actually just added EFT tapping, which is emotional freedom tapping, into the mix. And then also dancing. Dancing is one that might not be in other people's like 10, 10, 10 if they choose to do this, but I just love the way that dancing makes me feel. I love the movement. I love listening to a great song and just moving around in my room by myself with no judgment. It just feels really good. So those are the things that I personally have added in there. So one morning I might do 10 minutes of meditation and then do 10 minutes of yoga and then 10 minutes of dancing. That's kind of the one that I like to do. And then the next morning I might want to do 10 minutes of breath work and then 10 minutes of EFT tapping and then 10 minutes of yoga. So it's really just up to you what you want to do in the morning. And I'm saying you, but I'm really also just like talking to myself as I'm explaining this process. Because again, this is just something that I kind of made up. And in my little experiment of me doing this, my little 10-10-10 morning routine, I've already found that I can't choose to dance before I do meditation, because then in my meditation, I just have those songs stuck in my head that I dance to. And that's not really helpful for me when I want to meditate. So I already have learned that and I'm experimenting with what feels good. But every day it changes a little bit differently. But I'd say in general, I really like to just start my morning off with that first 10 being meditation and then choosing it from there. Do I want to dance next? Do I want to do yoga? Do I want to do breath work, EFT tapping? And there are other things that I might add into that list, but this feels really good to me to do. It's nice to not have restrictions other than just kind of the time limit of doing it for 10 minutes. And it could be something that you work up to. Maybe you do like a 5-5-5, or a 15 and a 15, something like that. But I know it can be difficult to even just give yourself an extra 30 minutes in the morning, especially if you have more of a structured lifestyle, like you work in a 9-to-5 or something like that. But this has been something that I'm personally really enjoying. And you could even incorporate it into your nighttime routine. You could do more of like a nighttime meditation and then like a nighttime yoga or something like that. So just food for thought. But anyway, so I really am kind of prioritizing meditation before doing any other activity because I've been wanting to get into not yoga, into meditation just that much more. I think I've kind of nailed down incorporating yoga into my day-to-day life. And my next thing was really getting meditation on that list of things that I do very consistently. So I like to start off every morning in that 10, 10, 10, doing my 10 minutes of meditation. And I'm finding that these meditation sessions have been really, really serving to me. I've always had some cool like breakthrough during it or come up with a really helpful like action plan for something that I haven't been able to figure out previously. And this might sound kind of odd that I'm like working these things out while meditating because of how you might have previously looked at meditation. So, which I used to look at meditation in the same way, which was you just need to make your mind blank. You shouldn't be thinking about anything. So I used to think that meditation needed to be a time when your mind literally just went blank in just a very peaceful, still manner. And I've never been able to do that. And that was always really frustrating to me. I'm like, why can't I just quiet my mind? I always wanted to, but that's something that I still get to work on to this day because it could be a really cool point to reach and just having kind of that, again, that stillness in your mind. And that's for people like me who my mind's just always running. It gets difficult to reach that point. But I once heard from a meditation expert something that really shifted how I approached meditation ever since. And that is to actually give yourself the permission to just let yourself think all the thoughts. Don't try to push them away. And her example that's always stuck with me is, and I wish I could remember her name, but anyway. And so her example was think of yourself when you're meditating, think of yourself as this like party host, and your thoughts are all of your guests. And so I feel like I said that word guests, guests, whatever. Anyway, so you know what I mean? Your party guests. So as you're hosting this party, you wouldn't be like pushing them out the door as soon as they get there. Well, maybe you might, depending on who some of your guests are and your relationship with them. But you wouldn't really do that. You would welcome them in, you would introduce them to everybody, kind of let them get situated in whatever way they feel comfortable. And so your role while meditating can be looked at as instead of trying to quiet the mind, actually just let your thoughts flow in and out of your space without forcing them out prematurely because you feel like that's what you need to be doing. What I like about this reframing is that it, again, gives you this permission to kind of take the pressure off of your mind being blank while meditating because it's just not always realistic for some people, including myself. And so if you do reach that more kind of blank, peaceful state of mind, then that's amazing. But not reaching that point doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong or that meditation is just not for you. So this kind of like letting your thoughts wander sort of place has been the only meditation that I've been doing because it is difficult for me to shut off my mind. And I've found that it's been extremely helpful for me because I'm giving myself a designated time and space to think these thoughts rather than trying to think about them passively throughout my day and or while focusing on something else like cooking or driving or, take Flynn, my dog, out to the bathroom. It's like giving yourself this time to think these thoughts kind of gets all of the thoughts just out of your mind quicker and can lead to you taking action on them quicker as well, which is at least what I have found. So anyway, the main reason why I'm talking about this is because it was during one of these meditation sessions during my 10, 10, 10 morning routine, I made a really cool connection between nature and what I deem to be one of the really major parts of human design. And that concept is that your mind believes that it belongs in the driver's seat of your life. So let me tell you about what I thought while meditating before I kind of go into the human design side of it, because then I think at the end it'll make everything kind of click a little bit better. In this particular morning, I was outside laying down on my balcony. Just if I look up, you know, I just see a beautiful, clear blue sky, and I've got my earbuds in, kind of playing relaxing music and just let my mind wander because that's what I do when I meditate. I don't try to quiet it. And I made this connection that nature likes being in equilibrium, or basically balance. That's its optimized state within the designated environment that you might be talking about. It's always aiming to reach like this homeostasis, which is literally the tendency to go towards a relatively stable equilibrium or balance between all of the different interconnected elements. So I thought about how nature likes being in equilibrium. It's always looking for that balance. And, you know, I just began to think about all of the mind-blowing things that nature does, all of the different, you know, living and non-living components within that system without having a single mind involved that's as complex and evolved as the human being's brain. It's really just second nature for nature to move towards this equilibrium. Humans, on the other hand, are always going against their equilibrium or balance. Why? Because of our thoughts, which essentially lead to our actions. When we have bad thoughts, we tend to have bad actions, and vice versa. Your thoughts create your reality. I'm sure you've heard that before. If not, then you're welcome. But when we allow our minds to run our lives like that, we're actually going against our true nature. It's really our ability to trust in and surrender to our authentic selves that allows us to get back to the equilibrium that our being naturally wants to be working towards. But again, we are consistently fighting against this trust and surrender because our minds infiltrate our existence, thinking that it knows what's best for us. Now, here's the human design reasoning for this, which is just so incredibly interesting to me. In 1781, when the planet Uranus was discovered, we entered the Uranian era. And this is when the human species actually experienced an evolutionary shift. We shifted from being seven-centered, mind-directed beings. So think of kind of like your traditional chakra system. That's where the seven centers came from. To nine-centered, inner-directed beings. So to give you a little bit of reference in this as well, it's believed that Neanderthals were five-centered beings. So these transitions in the quantity of numbers of centers is literally derived from evolved physiological development. So I don't want to get too detailed and lose you, and I really hope I didn't because I haven't even begun to make the comparison because it's just so cool when you realize it. But we basically went from survival mode with the five centers to capitalizing on the strategic mind for advancement with seven centers to now finding communion through awareness with our nine-centered selves. And communion is basically like the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level, which is just like, it's like, what a great word. So the point in our evolution and existence right now is to quiet the mind's supremacy and use our body's consciousness as our true authority rather than seeking outer authority via our strategic mind. So this is what human design is all about. It's about recognizing that your mind still believes that it's in this almighty superior authority that knows what's best for you, when really your being, your body consciousness actually knows how to assist you in your existence through your human design type, which is your role, your strategy, which is how you best interact with the outside world and use your energy, and your authority, which is your decision-making mechanism. So when we can get back to these natural energetic basics for us, that's when we reach our equilibrium as an individual. So I want to go over my little nature example again to see if it helps you better understand your own evolution as a species and the place that human design has within it, to hopefully have it click for you a little bit better. And you'll be like, wow, Maggie's so smart for making this connection. Just kidding. Okay, so let me say it again. Nature likes being in equilibrium. It's always aiming for a complete balance in all it does. And think about all of the incredible things that nature does while aiming to achieve this balance. It's second nature for nature to act this way. However, humans are always attempting to go against their own equilibrium because our strategic minds are still seeking outer authority, when really you are your authority. And it's only through our awareness do we really start to achieve trust and surrender to our authentic selves, which allows us to get back to our individual equilibrium. Hopefully that lands a little differently than the first time that I explained it to you. So if this is something that you'd like to explore more, I'd love for you to join me in my upcoming workshop, Edge of Expansion. We're going to be going over my Ascension of Surrender sequence, which are the five stages to a transformational shift in reclaiming your personal power. And then we're going to be exploring how human design helps you move through that sequence quicker. I've got the link in the show notes and I'd really love to have you there. And I've got such a cool bonus surprise too that I thought of that like is totally lighting me up. I'm so excited about it for anyone that does join me for the workshop, but you'll only be able to have the opportunity if you come live or watch the replay. So just something to keep in mind. So again, got that link in the show notes. Definitely love to have you there. It's going to be such a blast. I'm going to blow your mind. So the question to ponder today is, how far has your mind gotten you? Only you know what your mind is thinking. So do you feel that your mind truly has your best interest in mind? No pun intended, but like it was kind of intended. So sit on that for a while and I will catch you in the next episode. I guess that's like my new kind of sign off because I think I say it at the end of every single episode. Okay. Anyway, I hope you have an amazing, expansive day and I will catch you all in the next episode. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune into this episode. If it served you in any way, please leave a review so we can continue spreading the word about human design and raise consciousness together.